And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Start saying another volume because we're going to have a volume of secrets today. You know, we have this every month or so, a volume of secrets. This is volume 219, but it is an edition of Power of Prophecy. It's great being with you. And, you know, there's so much to look up to. I see it's a beautiful sunny day outside. We've had some cold, of course. And they're telling us, the climatologist or whatever, that this is going to be the coldest winter that America has ever seen. Now, I remember some times about 25 years ago when it was pretty cold. And so we had ice on the, ice and snow here in Texas. We don't have that very much. Now, I know all my good friends up north, they're sort of used to that. But I don't think you're as used to as much as you're getting now. I mean, they're really wheeling it in, aren't they? Well, you know, God dictates the kind of weather you have. And man does not have much to do with it. It says in Ecclesiastes that we're going to have, you know, winter and summer and fall. And all of the seasons are going to continue until Shiloh comes. That means until Jesus comes. Because Shiloh is another name for Christ Jesus. So when somebody tells you, you know, everything is going to stop and we're going to have, you know, global warming is going to get so terrible and you know, you have to laugh at them. Of course, we had all kind of weather spells. I mean, this whole continent evidently was covered by ice at one time. They have found creatures, ice-like creatures, even fish on the top of the Rocky Mountains. How did they get in Colorado and Utah? They found fish up there. And it's nowhere near a river. Now, they did not the fish exactly, but I mean, you know, fish bones and so forth that they reconstruct together. In any case, let's leave the foolishness of mankind, the so-called scientists who keep changing their minds every day. You know, I heard on the news yesterday that a new study came out about aspirin. Said maybe aspirin, one aspirin a day, is not as good for you as the doctors first thought. Now, you know, they had all these studies, about 1,000 studies on aspirin that said it was good for you. They even said, you know, buy it in these low level, you know, these pills that are only so many megs and so many milligrams, and sell those, and everybody's buying it. And our doctor told Wanda, you know, she's got a little bit of a heart problem, and said, you know, if you're having a heart problem, take one of these pills, or nitrate pills, I guess, you know, for your heart, and take one aspirin. And, you know, if she's feeling, you know, has some pain or something. And that pretty well takes care of her. If she didn't take the aspirin, she'd have problems. Now they've changed their mind. You know, when I was a kid, I read all the time, you shouldn't eat spicy food. I mean, spicy food, that'll give you ulcers in your stomach. Then some guy, just a family doctor in Australia, discovered that one of his patients had ulcers, pretty bad case of ulcers, and he noticed from looking in the microscope that the guy had a certain kind of bacteria in his stomach. That was a common bacteria, and others might have it, but he noticed it. Then he started checking. He noticed in every one of his patients, all who had ulcers had this same kind of bacteria. Not every patient had it, of course. Most didn't, but everyone that had ulcers had this bacteria. So he, you know, wrote to the medical associations and such in Australia and said, do you think this bacteria could be the cause of ulcers? Oh, no, it's spicy food and, you know, things that you eat, you know, get you all upset. And so he was just sure of it, and he did a little study, and he put an article on in a medical journal. They finally took it. Most doctors laughed at him. And you know, that was 35 years ago. It proved to be true. Now, if you've got ulcers, you know, the kind that eat a hole through your stomach, well, they found out now it's not what you eat. You you change your diet completely. It's this bacteria you got in. And they found that a common form of antibiotic can kill that bacteria. So people did not have to suffer with ulcers so bad. I mean, some people would have them, and it happened for years. They kept going back to doctors and changed their diet. And until finally, many of them died of ulcers. It ate holes to their stomach, that burning. Now doctors know it's a bacteria. Well, but it wasn't medical research exactly. It was just your common family doctor who noticed something. You know, folks, I believe that's why we specialize in conspiracies here. Terrible conspiracies against God, against the United States of America, because we notice things. We put two and two together. And we're not like, you know, Winston in the famous novel 1984 by George Orwell. You know, the interrogator, the guy who was torturing him, raised up his fingers and said, "How many fingers do I have here?" And poor Winston was being tortured. He said, "You know, four." And they tortured him some more. They said, "How much is 2 + 2? Well, Winston said, "That's 4. They tortured him some more. They said, "That's a wrong answer. We're going to keep torturing you, Winston, until you're able to answer the question and answer it correctly. How much is 2 + 2? Winston said 4. They tortured him. So finally, Winston just started screaming, "It's 5, 7, 3, anything you want it to be." And then the torturer said, "That's the correct answer, Winston. It's whatever we want it to be." You see, folks, this is what they want the whole world to accept. The world is whatever they say it is. The world is whatever they have rigged it to be, whatever they have deceived people into thinking it is. But you and I, being led by the Spirit of God and knowing better, we put two and two together and say, "Don't tell me that's 5 or 7 or 3, that's 4, and it'll never change. It'll always be 4. And you're an idiot for saying anything different. And I'm not going to say anything different because I know." You know, Jerry, that's that's what I like about our people at Power Prophecy. Now, we've had this ministry, 28 years? And these folks know. And they also know that we tell the truth here. You know, we used to be called Living Truth Ministries, which I thought was pretty good, but we changed it to Power Prophecy some years ago. Living Truth Ministries. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So you can't beat that. Can't get any better than that. But our folks know the truth. They do. They're not going to be led by anybody else. They're not going to listen to me if I give them a bunch of nonsense. If I were to start saying out there, "Now listen, folks, the government did not do 9/11, you know, and Bush really believed there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that's why we went in there. And Saddam Hussein, yes, he helped 9/11 too, and of course, naturally, NASA would never lie to us about the moonshot or what happened there. And you know, we've got to trust Barack Obama. I mean, he's our president, and if he says he needs an executive amnesty order to make up to 5 million refugees, so-called, you know, from Mexico and other places in Central and South America, to make them legal, and that he has the constitutional authority to do it, we must believe him. He's our president. We elected him twice. You mean you don't, are you calling the president a liar? How dare you? The audacity of the Power of Prophecy listener. You know, if I were to start saying things like that, I'd get a lot of flack. And I would expect it. I would expect it. Well, folks, it is secrets time today. Let me tell you one of the secrets. It's really not a secret. I think all of you know it. Hell season has begun in America. Hell season has begun. in America. From now to New Year's, Obama and the elite intend to bring hell to America. Now, there's some things I want you to look out for, and four or five, really. I talked about some of these on other radio programs, and boy, I've been waiting to get on my program, and it's only once a week here, but last week I discussed some of these things, and I want to talk about them more in depth with you, because you're my friends out there on Power of Prophecy. First of all, we know about Ferguson, Missouri, and it was a tragic thing, and is a tragic thing, when a young man gets shot to death. But in this particular case, it doesn't look like the policeman had any alternative. The guy was walking in the middle of the street, wouldn't get off the middle of the street. And then when the policeman told him to, they got into a fight, and they fought in the car, and they fought for the gun. But in any case, Obama, we know what side he and his attorney general are on. He met secretly, get this now, he has met secretly with Al Sharpton and black activists at the White House. Why? Well, to plot strategy and tactics of what the White House and what they want these demonstrators, these protesters, to do after the grand jury results. Obama told Sharpton and the black folks there in the White House, he said, stay the course. Ah. Now, that revealed something, didn't it? Stay the course. What course was he talking about? Now, the course I would like to have in Ferguson, Missouri is the truth. And that's what the grand jury has been meeting. And I understand they've had 15 or 20 witnesses. 15 or 20 witnesses. But they listen to the truth. And it doesn't matter whether the grand jury or the police or whoever, or black or white, truth is truth. Now, you would have thought that the President of the United States would say to these black activists that were concerned about Ferguson that he had invited to the White House, that he would have told them, read carefully the grand jury's findings. Consider them carefully in your mind. And act according to the truth as you see it. But the blacks that I've seen on TV, they're all saying, well, let's just hang the guy. He's guilty. Let's just go out and murder the white policeman. Or at best, they say, well, he doesn't need to have a grand jury. Let's just take him out and try him. Then, of course, after you try him, you're going to find him guilty and murder the guy. Listen, folks, the Constitution of the United States says no one will be deprived the right of grand jury. And I used to teach constitutional law. I taught American and local government at university level. I know a little bit about these things. I know what it says. No one will be deprived the right to a grand jury and be tried for crime by a jury, you know, and then they'll be tried by a full jury of their peers. They don't want a grand jury because they're thinking maybe the guy will be found, you know, innocent, not really innocent, but there's not enough evidence and he'll be let go. They don't want the guy to be let go. They don't care about the facts. They just want some blood. They want blood. And what does the President Obama say to him? Stay the course. Let's have some blood. That's what he says to him. No call for peace. No call for nonviolence. No call for understand your fellow American, black or white. It doesn't really matter. Brown, Chinese, it doesn't matter. We're all Americans. Or, well, there are 25 or 35 illegals. 25 or 35 million illegals, that is. But if you're an American citizen, you've got a right to a grand jury. Listen, folks, I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you're Charles Manson or Ted Bundy or some other horrible, psychotic serial killer. You still have a right. I mean, I don't like that. I think they should have taken Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer in and just, well, what I would like to see them do is pretty extreme, I guess. Murderous guys like Dahmer and Bundy and the others. Sure, they deserve what they got, but listen, folks, they first have a grand jury. That's America. And the grand jury looks at the evidence, all of it, and determines whether there should be a trial. And then there's a trial. These folks wanted to skip certain steps and go right to, really, they would have liked to just hung the guy, lynch him. The blacks in America should know better. than a Walencha guy. Well, that's what I say. And now the next segment of hell season in America is the amnesty order. Well, it's not really an order. It was an executive action. Folks, listen. There's Orwellian language for you. It really wasn't an executive order. It was a executive action. They use words. They change words. And they think they can deceive people. Now, what we've seen is Obama plans to call, or he planned for that 4 to 5 million refugees or illegal aliens would not be deported. They're just going to be able to stay here. He's going to give them green cards and all that. Well, nobody is mentioning the fact that America does not have just 4 or 5 million illegal aliens in the country. We have much more than 11 million illegal aliens. We have an underreported 25 to 35 million illegals. And now a few people that are more honest are beginning to voice that figure. Oh, 25 to 35 million illegals. And we have tens of millions more preparing to come in from Mexico and Central America, South America. And listen to this, folks. There's over a billion people in India. And a lot of them are already coming to America, and millions more want to come here. And that doesn't even count Red China. They have over a billion people, and millions want to come here. Now, when I was a young man, we had about 150 million Americans. Now our population is 335 million. It's over doubled. A wave invasion is now coming. Well, you know, they have to be here 5 years before they get this amnesty that Obama's given them. Hey, how long do you think? Go to the shopping mall. Go to some work site where there's 20 or 30 Mexicans working and try to find a few that speak English and say, how long have you been here? They'll all tell you. They've all been here more than 5 years because that's the length that it takes. How do you know whether they've been here 5 years or more? And the Democrats are demanding that no ID be required to vote. So you're helping the people to register. The guy comes in. You say, what's your name? And he says, I'm Michael Gomez, or I'm, you know, Jose Gutierrez, and I want to vote. Well, let's see some identity. We want to know if you're really Jose Gutierrez or Mike Gomez. Well, I don't have any. But the court just ruled that I can vote. Well, okay, here, vote. Well, they can, if you allow that, they can vote early and often. They can vote over and over and over again. Mike Gomez can vote 100 times. He'll be paid for just going around to the various polls and going in and voting. Mike Gomez. He makes up an address. You can't check the address of tens of millions. You just don't have the time. That's an election. So that means that the Democrats, the liberals, are going to win in the presidency in 2016. Because more than 5 million will get green cards. There'll be millions and millions more. In fact, they're already telling states like Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and California, prepare for the surge. It's coming now. Boy. And the Democrats are out there lying to people, say, this won't cost you a penny. It won't cost you in welfare cost. It won't cost you in Medicaid. It won't cost you in food stamps. These people are not going to get free Obama phones. They're just going to work very hard. What a bunch of lies. I'm tired of this propaganda, folks. This is lies. Of course it's going to cost. They say now that there's at least 7 million illegal aliens on Medicaid. Where did I get that figure? Well, I just made it up. I really don't know how many. Probably more. But I know there's millions on it. If you can make it across the border, you can go down and get a Medicaid card and get your whole family taken care of. Their dental needs. Hey, they can even change their gender. Now you get transgender operations. If you're not happy that you're a boy, you change to a girl.
Boy.
Now, I know Obama can do whatever he wants to because the Congress is frightened. They say we'll be punished by the voters. We'll be punished by the people if we impeach him. We better let him go. Well, they've been saying that so long that Obama believes it, says, yeah, that's right. They're not going to impeach me. Now I can do whatever I want to. This is only the first in many steps, believe me. He's got two more years. That's a long time. Now, the communists took over Soviet Russia, actually Russia, in 1917. Where do you think they were 2 years later? Folks, there were hundreds of thousands of Christians lying dead and in concentration camps within 2 years. They can do a lot in 2 years. A lot. Now, who's being targeted in all this? Blacks. Listen, Ferguson protester, Ferguson demonstrator. You're being taken in. While you're down there marching in Ferguson, Obama just gave job opportunities to 5 million illegal aliens and basically said all the rest of them aren't going to be deported. That means the 25 to 35 million unreported aliens are not going to be deported. I keep hearing all these people on TV. We can't deport them. Nobody wants to do that. That's a lie. I want to do it. I'm Tex Mars. Write your congressman, write your senator, and say, I just heard Tex Mars on the radio. He wants to deport them. I want to deport people who are in America illegally. Children, mothers, fathers, grandfathers, if they're here illegally, they can go. It's only a ride, folks. They were in Mexico, they were in Guatemala, they were in El Salvador, and it's only a ride. Give them a ride in a bus and a train. Give them a ride in a car and a truck on an aircraft. And they'll be back in the same situation they were. They won't be any worse off.
Well, but they've got jobs and they've got families and they've got, yes, they've got Medicaid and they've got welfare and they've got housing paid for by the, they've got all these goodies. But they're not Americans. And do I feel sorry for them? Yes. I would like to take the 1 billion people in India and say to every person in India, I know you're suffering there. You're an untouchable. It's a terrible situation. Come to America. Get on a boat. Whatever you can do to get here. And when you come here, we will open up our arms to you. All 1 billion. But do you know what would happen to America? It'd be over. We can only allow so many per year. It's not feasible. Now, all you have to do is go back to the Eisenhower days. And at that time in the 50s, many were coming across the border. And so Congress and President Eisenhower passed a law. And they deported people. And Eisenhower deported 3 million. Now, there were no 25 to 35 million in America at the time. Boy, he put them to work. And employers were afraid. They were afraid to hire an illegal. If they did, they could go to jail under Eisenhower. Now, Eisenhower was the last president to be that brave. I guess he was a military general, 5-star general. He did things there in the military, gave orders. He was used to that. Whites are being targeted today. And blacks are being targeted. Now, the blacks, they're getting so much in all these various programs, and they're being favored by affirmative action at universities and colleges and so forth, and very few blacks are working. I think they have unemployment of about 29% among the blacks. Some of them really want to work but can't find a job, but others just want to stay home or hang around their neighborhoods, the ghettos, and take dope and go around marauding and raping and killing. And Mayor Rudy Giuliani from New York City gave a great interview this weekend. And he said 93% of black crime is committed by, get this folks, blacks. 93% of the crime perpetrated on black citizens is by blacks. So all they're doing is hanging around the neighborhoods, walking around with their baggy pants, taking messages on their Obama phones, and robbing their fellow citizens, including women and teenagers, and going on and on. That's what they're doing in Chicago, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, all of these cities. And you know, that may be all that what they're going to be doing too. There's not going to be any jobs for them. They're going to be taken by all these foreigners. Do you understand that, black man? Do you understand that, black man? You're a good citizen. You don't go around taking dope. You don't go around committing crimes against other black people. You're a good black man. Well, I don't consider you white or black. You're just an American citizen. Well, listen to me, Mr. Black American citizen, a good man, a good woman. You're in trouble. You're really in trouble. Because the Obama administration may be made up mostly of blacks, but they don't care about you. He wants these illegals in here, pump them all in. There's millions, tens of millions of them. There's all the black people in America. There's only about 14% of all Americans that are black. And you don't have the voting power. Even though you voted for Obama last time by 96%, you don't have the voting power that the Mexicans have. And they're going to have more now, and more, and more. And they're going to take your jobs. Now, if you're one of those blacks that don't want a job, that want to exist on the government dole, then just don't dismiss what I'm saying. But if you're a good American citizen, and you're a black person that studied hard and worked hard, and you know you deserve better than you've got, and you're unemployed, or you can't get a job worthy of your qualifications, you listen to me right now, because you're just like, I don't care what color your skin is, you're a good American. And even though all around you are robbing and taking dope and all this and committing crimes in the cities, you're not. You're different. And I say that for whites too, because now in these little towns throughout America, drugs are eating up the white people. Go in these little towns in Appalachia. Well, our coal mines have closed down. We don't have a job. Here, hand me some more of that meth. Hand me some more of that ecstasy, that heroin. I got to take this just to forget everything that's happening to me. I'm just so poor now. Hey, did my government check come in today? That's what they're doing in these towns and these cities throughout America, but especially up in Appalachia where the coal mines have been closing down. Listen, friends. Prepare yourself for another job. Do what you can. Don't let it be your fault. Let it be the government's fault. It's Obama letting all these illegals in. But you don't have to be like that. Be different. When they come around and say, here, take a snort of this. Put this up your nose. Look at them and say, thank you anyway, and pass right on by. Black, white, it doesn't matter. I'm talking to you, good American citizen. But whites are going to be targeted. It's open season on white people. But they'll get around to the black people. They're already excluding you from jobs. You're favored over the whites right now, but you're not favored over the browns, are you? They're going to change America. That's their goal. And I'm going to tell you why in just about 2 minutes here. First, we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to tell you exactly why they're changing America. They've been working at it for a long time, and now they're about to get there. And if you're black, white, Chinese, listen to my voice very carefully. We've got to get together. We've got to unite as one. We've got to fight these people and do what's right for America. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back in a brief minute. Hello, folks. Tex Mars again here. You know, we have just obtained a fantastic new book that we're offering for the first time here on Power of Prophecy.
Well, I believe it's the second time, actually, but it's called Hailstorm. Hailstorm. That's all one word. Hail, H-E-L-L, storm. It's by Thomas Goodrich. Now, Thomas Goodrich has written 9 other books, but he says this is the most important book he's ever written in his life, and he intends for the rest of his life to tell people what he has discovered. It's the story of Nazi Germany. Not really Nazi anymore, but Germany after World War II. Now, think about that, my friends. What happened after World War II? Well, the Allies, we took West Germany, and our good friends, Stalin and the communists, took East Germany. We halved Berlin between us. And then we sought to bring an economic miracle to Germany. We rebuilt their factories. We helped the people. They had a ruined, destroyed country. But we wanted to help them. And we did. All of those that were in uniform, we took their uniforms and gave them a discharge and said, go back home now and help build a good democratic Republic of Germany with a good constitution. We love you. We're Americans. We're British. Even the Russians were good to them. After all, we wanted them on our side in the future. But the Nazis, of course, we took the Nazis out of the government. But as far as the German people goes, they were so much better off under the Americans than they were under the Nazis. And everything I've read says that's true. What I just told you is true. But Thomas Goodrich says that's a lie. He says that what I've said is deceit. It's propaganda. And regrettably, Thomas Goodrich proves his point. He documents in this book the raping, the plunder, the murder of a defeated Germany. It was a terrible time after 1944 and 45. The Germans were sleeping in the streets. It was wintertime. It was cold, and they had no food at all, and they were begging, and everyone was desperate. But they didn't get much help from the Americans. In fact, they received terror. They received horror. Goodrich says that it was a time to die. It was not the autumn, the new dawn of the new democratic Germany. No, it was the devil's day. The demons were dancing in glee. As the Americans took away millions of German soldiers to concentration camps. You've heard about those camps. You've heard of the Holocaust and supposedly where the Germans took the Jews and others. Well, these were concentration camps too, in Germany, full of prisoners, all Germans. Men, women, and children, they were all in those camps. And most of the soldiers. And they weren't offered any food. They weren't offered any medicine. They didn't even have shelter. And millions perished. And the American soldiers guarding them had loads of food and all kinds of necessities. But they were given orders. If you give one bit of food to these German people, you could be punished by death. By death. Now, I know you've heard all these stories of these Americans coming in, and they've got all these rations of, you know, candy bars and Hershey bars and passed them out to the Germans, and, oh, we were so nice to them. Baloney. It was rape. It was plunder. Now, it was worse on the Russian side. The Russians came in, and they were encouraged on their Russian radio. The soldier was told, go forth, kill, kill, kill. Not just soldiers. They were told to go into every village, every town, and to massacre, to rape. I want to read to you what one rape victim confessed. The war was over. They had won. The Russians had won the East, and the Americans had won the West, and all we were doing is just going from town to town and announcing our victory and
reorganizing the country. Here's what one rape victim, a woman, confessed. She said, "We screamed. We begged them to leave us in peace, but they showed us no mercy. We decided to end our lives. Everyone had a knife and a piece of rope. Frau P was first. Young Frau K hanged her daughter and then herself. Her dear mother did the same with her sister. Now only two of us remained. I asked her to fix my rope, for I was much too upset to do it. Then we embraced one more time and kicked the luggage away on which we had stood. I, however, could touch the floor with my toes. The rope was too long. I tried over and over. I wanted to die. I looked to the right and to the left. We all hung in a row. They were well off. They were dead. As for me, I had no choice." The book, Hellstorm, the true story of what happened. The true story of how America had a plan for Germany after World War II. It was called the Morgenthau Plan. It was designed by very rich billionaire Jews from New York City and elsewhere, led by a man named Morgenthau, who was a high-up official in the Roosevelt administration. It had the blessing of President Roosevelt, and when Truman got into office, he was told, "Morgenthau has a plan for Germany." The plan was to kill most of the people in Germany, to kill most of the people in Germany, and to leave a small agricultural nation, to decimate, to demolish, to take apart their factories, the ones that were left after the bombing and the destruction, and take them away and give them to other countries. As far as the food and the products of the farms, they were to be given to the French and to others, and the Germans were to be starved to death. Only a few small number of people would be left. It was called the Morgenthau Plan. Thank God for President Hoover, former president. He went there to Germany after World War II, and he saw what was going on. And he came back and he told President Truman, "This cannot stand. This will not happen. We cannot kill a whole nation." And then things began to change. Read the book, Hellstorm. You'll find out the truth of what America and Russia did to the Germans after World War II. Not propaganda, folks. Documented facts. Now, this book is just $20. $25, thank you, Jerry. $25, it's 375 pages. Story after story, all documented. Hellstorm by Thomas Goodrich. Hellstorm, $25, add $5 for shipping and handling, a total of $30. We'll send you the book. It'll be right out to you. Our phone number, of course, here is during the work week, Monday through Friday, 1-800, that's toll free, 234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go online at any time, 24/7. PowerOfProphecy.com, PowerOfProphecy.com, or just TextMars.com. TextMars.com, and order the book there. Hellstorm by Thomas Goodrich. You can write us, send us a check for $30 or money order or cash. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Remember, folks, true history depends on you and me, not on our government, not what the establishment historians have lied about, but the honest, unvarnished truth. Only truth. And that comes from you and from me. All right. Jerry's telling me over here, I have to take my order sometime, you know. Jerry's saying that I forgot to mention the children's home. Well, of course, the children's home is always something that we, you know, taking up an offering for. And please remember to give to the children's home when you give a donation or love gift or offering to this ministry, to Power of Prophecy. And we do. We really appreciate your your offerings and donations and gifts. If any of it is for the children's home, please let us know how much. So if you send us a gift of, let's say, $20, and you want 10 of it to go to the children's home, then put that down. Say, send $10 text to the children's home, and I'll make sure it happens. I'll make sure that every penny that you designate to the children's home goes there. We really need your offering very, very much. By the way, I want to tell you who helped us on our employees fund. Our employees fund, thank you so very much. But again, we have the children's home. Those are the only two campaigns we have every year. But the children's home is very, very deserving. Please, folks, please give to the children's home, Texas Children's Home. All right, now let's go on to our regular program. That do it, Jerry? Okay, good. Well, you know, I mentioned to you that as to why the liberals, the so-called progressives, the New World Order Illuminati is what I call them, why they're always pushing us, always cramming stuff down our throat. Now, we were told that in this midterm elections, the one by the Republicans, that 80% of the exit polls showed that people were upset about the immigration. They were upset because of all those young people that had invaded America. Even without their parents, they were sent from Guatemala and El Salvador and down in Central America and in Mexico. And why is America, why do we have all of these millions of illegals in our country and no one is doing one thing to stop them? There are no deportations. And we're getting even the criminal element, murderers, rapists, coming into this country and not being deported even after they're caught. They're just let go. Well, I'm reading a book here, Freemasonry in the Vatican, by Leon de Poncins, Freemasonry in the Vatican. It talks about the relationship between the Vatican in Rome and Freemasonry worldwide. In a book called La Massoneria from Florence, Italy, in 1945, we find this interesting fact. It says, Freemasonry is a revolution in action, a permanent conspiracy against religious and political enemies. Now think about that. Freemasonry is a revolution in action. It is a permanent conspiracy against religious and political enemies. Folks, they hate the Constitution of the United States. They hate our republic. They hate our freedoms. These are the elite. These are the Obamas and the Clintons and the Bushes and all the rest of these monsters. And it's a permanent revolution. Oh, the revolution didn't end in 1917 in Russia. It didn't begin in the late 1800s under Karl Marx. It's continued up to now and will continue. And Freemasonry is part of it. Freemasonry was begun by Jews and is a Jewish religion. Did you hear what I said? Freemasonry is a Jewish religion. Freemasonry claims to possess the true religion. Well, and the secret teaching, in this book it says, the secret teaching of the supreme leaders of Freemasonry may be summed up in these words, to establish all the rights of man. To claim for man the possession of all these rights. And to usurp those of government and society which differ. A revolution in action. That's why Obama was trained by Saul Alinsky, a communist, who dedicated his book, Rules for Radical, to Lucifer. Saul Alinsky. He says it's a permanent revolution. Now, the Freemason symbol of the eagle, the double-headed eagle, which is the 32nd degree jewel, as it's called, every Mason who makes the 32nd degree, you know, there's 33 degrees in the most popular order of Freemasonry. If you get to the 32nd, you get this double-headed eagle. One body, two heads. And the motto underneath it, it says, Ardo ab Chao, or order out of chaos. They want to make chaos. They want to disrupt things. They want to bring horrible instability, to destabilize our country. That's why they're in Ferguson, Missouri. Even though 93% of black crime is committed by blacks, and whites are killed every day in America by black monsters. That's right, they're killed every day, but nobody cares. That's why our president has called this stupid idiot Al Sharpton in the White House and told him, as far as Ferguson, Missouri, stay the course. What course? Permanent revolution. And I'm telling you, folks, they're changing our kids, everything. Our whole culture is changing. There's a permanent revolution going on. You have to understand, these are not accidental things. For example, in Chicago, the school board just approved a program to teach, get this, folks, anal sex to fifth graders. I mean, they don't even know their ABCs, hardly. I mean, many in high school cannot even write. They cannot read. They don't know their basic math. And they're teaching fifth graders anal sex. That's mostly for homosexual men. They're teaching these young kids how to be victims for the elite, for the Illuminati, who are pedophiles, many of them. And they do take young kids, boys and girls, mostly boys, and rape them through anal sex. And now they're teaching it to the fifth graders in Chicago. The godfather there is doing it. Rahm Emanuel and all the boys. Hell season for America. Now, here's let me give you some other points about hell season in America. Here's something just came up. I got this on a website called LegiScan. They scan the legislature, seeing what's going on in lawmaking among the 50 states. Now get this, folks. Churches, here's the headline. Churches will not be charged rain tax if they preach global warming. Now, you know, we had a tax audit here at Power Prophecy, about 20 years ago, 15 or 20 years ago? Yeah, 20 years ago, okay. We had a tax audit, and the auditor came and said, who has authorized you to preach what you preach? Well, God authorized me, I told him. No, he says, there must be some agency here in the United States that's given you authority to preach these things. I looked at the guy like he was crazy. This was the IRS. Who has authorized you to preach what you preach? He said, I see you preach against the Masonic Lodge. Who's given you authority to do that? I see that you preach things against the Pope and the Vatican. Who has given you authority to do that? The IRS wanted to know that. Now, I wrote a newsletter about that and told people, and many wrote me back and said, oh, you're crazy. That's not happening to you. You don't know what you're talking about. Huh? I'm the one getting the audit, folks. You're not the audit. What do you mean? I got the audit report. I know what it says. I decided I didn't want to be 501c3. They've got power over you. They tell you simply that your folks, when they give you a gift, you know, it's not taxable to them. You know, you can't take it off your income tax. You know, if you give this ministry a $100 love gift. Well, listen, the people who give to Power Prophecy do not give to get a tax break or a tax deduction. You give because you love God, you love the truth. Is that right? I think one person in all these years has said, I'm giving to get a tax break. Go somewhere else if that's why you give. Now listen, you know what happened in Houston, Texas recently? The lesbian mayor had a court to send summons to 12 different churches. She wanted copies of all of their sermons that they were preaching because she thought they might be preaching against homosexuality, and she was a homosexual. And they had passed an ordinance there saying that men and women could go into men and women's bathrooms, restrooms. So some dirty old man, 50, 60, 70 years old, could go when your little girl is in the bathroom and he could do whatever he wants with her. I'm not going to go for that, would you? And these pastors didn't either. And this lesbian mayor was outraged that they would protest her new ordinance that allowed transgenders, men and women, to go in the restrooms of the opposite sex. My goodness, these people were standing up for little kids, and this monster, this horrible mayor was on to him, boy. She was going to get a court. She If it hadn't been in the Houston Chronicle and the national press, nobody would have believed it. It happens all the time. How about the pastor up in La Porte, Colorado? He was told, because you preach against homosexuality, you say it's in the Bible, but that doesn't matter. You're a political action committee. You didn't register as a political action committee. We're going to start fining you $100 a day till you register. He wrote him back and said, I'm not a political action committee. I'm a church. We're a church. They said, we don't care what you think you are. You're a political action committee because you've opposed homosexuality. The pastor didn't do anything. He said, I'm not going to register the political action committee. That would make me a liar before God. Finally, it all resolved itself. They came and took his church. They sent a judge sent the sheriff in, and they took all the pews out, all the PA systems. They took everything in the church. They even put a padlock on the front door of his church. I preached it. I told you about that at the time. I got letters from people saying that can't be true. The IRS doesn't care. Or the state of Colorado doesn't care what you preach. Yes, they do. Homosexuals always care. They're going to cram it down your throat, friends. Now listen to this one. I found this in LegisCan. Churches will not be charged a rain tax if they preach global warming. I've told you about the rain tax. They've got so many taxes, thousands. Well, they're charging the landowners, the homeowners in Maryland for how much land they own. Because rain drops on it. And you're going to have to pay for the rain tax. If 21 inches went on your land this year, you're going to pay like $1,000 per inch. Now, think about that, folks. It says here, Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley had a tax bill that levied a tax on Marylanders, businesses, and churches for their property. It was called a rain tax, but the O'Malley administration calls it a fee. It is wildly unpopular. In any case, he got it passed. He's a Democrat. It says now Prince George's County is offering a way for churches to avoid paying the tax, which is estimated to be an average of $744 per year for them. Every church in Maryland has to pay $744 on average. Some are paying thousands. Some are paying less. Depends on how much land you own. But if you will, listen to this, if you will preach green, global warming to your parish, to the people in the pews, if you will preach so-called environmentally focused sermons to educate your congregation, the tax can be waived for you. Now, according to this article, so far, 30 pastors have agreed to begin green ministries to avoid the taxes. Where are the courageous ministers? I'm sure there's some in Maryland. I want to hear from you. If you're a pastor in Maryland, write to Tex Mars. Tell me, I'm not paying the rain tax. And I'm sure not going to start teaching global warming because the state wants me to teach it. Do you see what they're doing? I mean, the IRS asked me, well, do you allow others who disagree with you, the Buddhists, the Hindus, and others, to use your pulpit? They wanted me to let Hindus and Buddhists and Mormons and all the others come into this pulpit, come into this on this radio program, use my newsletters, and to teach you about their religion. They said, you're 501c3, you have to do that, Tex Mars. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said. I was very nice to them. I sat them down, had a cup of coffee, tried to talk reasonable with them. They left, they wrote me up, they tried to take away my tax exempt status, and it didn't work. We sued them in court, and basically we won. But why did we have to spend thousands of dollars to fight the IRS? It's because these crooks, these corrupt people, the lowest learners, are in the IRS. And they hate Christianity. They hate Jesus. They hate people like Tex Mars that'll tell the truth. And they're going to come down hard on you. And the first thing they look for is if you're a 501c3. They want to take away your 501c3 status. You're a 501c3. You can't say that. You can't do that. Boy. Now here's another one for you. This is just unbelievable. It seems that a guy named Mikey Weinstein, who's been named one of the 50 most influential Jews in America by Forward magazine, a Jewish magazine. Why, he's even received the Wings of Justice Award from the Jews. And the Civil Rights Organization, why, Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, have recognized him, have given him an award. Now, what does Weinstein do? Well, he's head of an organization that works with the Pentagon, with the military services, to get Christ out of the military. Did you hear what I said? Mikey Weinstein wants to kick Jesus out of the U.S. Armed Forces. He's succeeding, too. The Pentagon confirms it may court-martial soldiers who evangelize other soldiers. If a soldier or an airman or a naval person shares his or her Christian faith, they might be court-martialed. Folks, this is the first time in history this has happened. It's because Obama has put devils in the Pentagon and he's been purging all these military people and firing them, all who don't agree with him, who won't go along with his lesbian, homosexual agenda, who believe the Christian faith. If you believe in the Christian faith, you're an enemy. You're an enemy of the Pentagon right now. You're an enemy. That shouldn't be. This is America, or is it? Well, Mikey Weinstein was evidently given a ride on Air Force One. And he was reading an Air Force publication called The Stinger. And there was an article about an Air Force colonel there about his faith, who talked about his faith and how Jesus Christ had been such an inspiration to him in time of war. And Mikey Weinstein was on the Air Force. He got on the Air Force phone immediately and called up the Pentagon and said, I want this colonel punished. They removed the newsletter, the contribution from the colonel. Now, Mikey Weinstein is head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. But what it really is the Military Prison Association. Mikey Weinstein, he goes in and out of the Pentagon. He goes and sees whoever he wants to. And he demands, anytime he finds Christianity in a newspaper column, in a magazine, or being shared by soldier to soldier, he says, we will not have Christianity in the armed forces. Mikey Weinstein. The Jews. It's the Jews, folks. The Jews. They want to destroy America. Don't let them do it. We're going to fight back. And you know what? It's going to be a long, arduous struggle. But we're going to win. The Bible says that you and I are the overcomers. Now, if that weren't true, it wouldn't say that. That's what it says in the book of Revelation, in fact. We are the overcomers. Oh, yes, the Antichrist, the man with the mark 6, who tries to force us to take 666. He's coming. He's going to be powerful. He's going to do lying miracles to make people believe in him. But you and I are the overcomers. We just hold on to Jesus Christ. We're going to win a lot of victories. And finally, the great victory will be ours. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Been great to be with you. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.